Our thoughts and prayers are with all the families who have lost loved ones and have loved ones that have been injured there in Highland Park, Illinois, as they were gathered together celebrating the 4th of July at a parade. And a young person, filled full of hate, decided to take out vengeance on innocent people. And how many other lives are affected by this one person's actions? And so I was thinking, what motivates someone to allow their anger to boil over to the point of taking innocent lives? And in my thinking, it has to relate to a lack of respect for authority. And so I think it's appropriate for us to begin a series of sermons on authority. And we need to start out with respecting authority in the home. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. Yes, preparing for eternity. And if we're not doing that, we better get started right now. But we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, yes, here in Martinsville, as we come together and study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, and then we strive to worship God in accordance to the New Testament pattern with a proper attitude, thus in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. And something else to mention, we always look forward to having Bible studies. If you're interested in doing that, let us know. We'll be glad to set up a time that's convenient for you. And if you have Bible questions or comments you'd like to make, send those in. Our address, again, is 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now let's get into our study this morning as we begin a series of sermons on authority. And the first lesson, I think, would be very much appropriate for us to begin with the authority in the home. And this, of course, would be the child's relationship to the parents, as authority is to be respected in the very beginning, isn't it? In Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, let us notice, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." So here we have the parents having the authority over the child for the well-being of the child. Of course, this is the proper relationship. And it's vitally important as we start out in our growth upward to have respect for our parents. "I'll get you a toy if you'll stop crying." Well, that's not teaching the child respect for authority. Of course not. And I've seen it, and no doubt you have as well, this situation unfold many times in public. Now, in Romans chapter 1, 29 through 32, here is a list of sins. Yes, and disobedient to parents is in that list of terrible sins. Well, they're all terrible, aren't they? Because all sin is against God. But the point is, parents need to teach their children to respect authority. That's where it starts out. We need, as parents, to get their attention. And it's done out of love. Don't whip your child, spank your child when you're full of anger. That's not the appropriate time. But do it when you're calm. And doing it in that manner is for their good. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs 13:24. Now that's from the Word of God, no matter what other so-called professionals may say. Let's stay with the Word of God. Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. A lot of parents nowadays are not willing to discipline their children in a proper way with a loving heart. And it's, again, for their well-being. So that's where it needs to start, in the home, having respect for authority. Now, let's go to the next step as we send our children to school. Authority is to be respected in the schools, the pupils' relationship to the tutors or the teachers. Notice Galatians 4:1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Guardians and stewards in the American Standard Version. But this would be, of course, those teaching the child. Now, let me ask this question. What is the biggest problem in many of our schools? Or another way to put it, or the lack of it? Is discipline, isn't it? It's lacking. Discipline is the problem, and it is a lack of it. I should have said that correctly. Discipline is what is needed in the schools. And many people will not allow their children to be paddled. And of course, now this was back when I was in school. You got a paddle when you got home if you got one at school, but as time went on, a number of parents would not allow their children to be paddled. But nowadays, I guess it's not even permitted to paddle children at all. I'm wondering about that. So this is something, you know, again, to point out the need for discipline in the schools. Many students in our public schools are given passing grades, but they're not really prepared to handle the next level. Is this not the case? So we see authority is to be respected in the schools. Some teachers are afraid of students. When I was in school, I don't ever remember of a school shooting. Not to say that there weren't any at all. I don't recall, but if there were, there weren't very many. Well, let's go on. The next step. Authority is to be respected in the civil government. The citizens' relationship to the United States government. Romans chapter 13. Let's notice together. Verses 1 through 4. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the proud, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to do to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Now notice, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. We need to respect law enforcement officers. Yes, the policemen are part of the government, and they are to be respected, not as we have in our society today, such disrespect, and people are not stopping when they're told to, and we have tragedies, you know, in the news fairly often, do we not, of so many terrible situations. But Christians, of course, are to be law-abiding people, honest and good neighbors. Look at 1 Peter 2:13 through 17. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Of course, in our situation, we have a president. We can disagree with policies. We can disagree with a number of things, but we're still to show honor. In other words, we're to respect the authority of the office. What about Christians respecting the authority of their employer? Yes, that's the same situation. They have authority as we work under their oversight. 1 Peter 2:18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. This applies to the employee-employer relationship, does it not? Well, certainly it does. We are to be a good influence on the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. We're to be the salt of the earth. Verse 13. So yes, we don't want to lose our flavor. We want to have that good, positive influence as Christians in this lifetime we're living. But let's go on. Authority is to be respected in the church. The relationship between the flock and the shepherds. Let's go now to Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So, the elders of the individual congregations, they're all autonomous. They have authority given by God. As you see, they're not just to be examples, as some have said. They do have authority. The Bible says they do. Notice again, have the rule over you. And 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Those that are teaching, working in the congregation, sometimes preaching, and of course all the elders are to have the qualification apt to teach. But the point is, they have authority given by God, and we're to respect that authority. Now, if the elders are teaching doctrinal error, well, certainly we're not to respect that situation, as Acts 5:29 would apply. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. So, of course, if elders are involved in doctrinal error, that's not where we submit to their authority. Of course not. But note, the elders set the times for the assembling of the church. And so we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Hebrews 10:25. So there is a matter of respecting authority when they set the times. Now, if a congregation does not have elders appointed, meeting the qualifications, 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, we need then to understand the men of the congregation are to be the leadership, meeting together in a business meeting, for example, and discussing the work of the church, the business of the church, and so forth. And so we respect that as well. But here, as we come now to the final authority to be respected, man's relationship to God. And so we go now to Colossians chapter 3. We'll start with verse 16 to get the context. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now that's important. In other words, we need to be filled with the truth, having a good understanding of the scriptures. Then we go on and read, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's the music that is to be done in the church. Singing, nothing else to be added to that if we're going to stay with the command of God. But notice now the next verse, and this is the verse we're really centering in on. And you see the connection. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So to do in the name of the Lord Jesus is to submit to His authority. This is the final authority to be respected in our study this morning. Man's relationship to God in the name means power by the authority of Christ. This does not just mean saying the name Jesus. Jesus said, in fact, in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. If we're not doing God's will, we're not going to enter into heaven. It's just that clear. So we are to do those things that are in the name of the Lord Jesus, that is, submitting to His authority. Acts 4:7. And when they had set them in the midst, the apostles, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Well, they wanted to know, who gave you this authority? Did they not? And verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name, or we could submit authority there, could we not? There is none other authority under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's by the authority of Christ. As you go to Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, all power hath been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Having that power, that is, he had the authority then to commission the apostles. They're under his authority. We're under his authority. We're under the law of Christ, whether we believe it or not. James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We want to be blessed in our deed, do we not? Then we better be submitting unto the authority of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians 6:2. James 1:25 was where we just read the perfect law of liberty. So whether we obey God's word or not, we will be judged by it when Christ comes again. John 12:48. Yes, the word that I have spoken unto you, the same shall judge him in the last day. If we reject God's word, we reject God. We need to understand that. So, as we now summarize our study, we began where? In the home? Yes. And so if we do not respect the authority of our parents, if we go to school and we don't respect the authority of the teachers, if we're not respecting the authority of our government and our police officers, especially, then are we going to respect the authority of Christ our Lord? If we are a member of the Lord's church, we certainly better be respecting the authority of the eldership. But you see the point. It's not likely that we're going to respect the authority of Christ if we are not respecting the authority of the others. And so, are we going to be like those in Samuel's day? 1 Samuel 8:7, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." They didn't want God to be their king. They wanted to have a king like the nations round about them. That's rejecting the authority of God, isn't it? So we don't want to be like those in Samuel's day. We want to be those that submit to the authority of God, to the authority of Christ. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 18:3. "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And if we will not humble ourselves and submit to the authority of God, we're not going to be saved. We're not going to be in heaven for all eternity. Of course not. Do you see? Do I see how important this subject is? The subject of authority. Respecting authority. Is that not the key in eliminating so many of the critical issues we face in society? Well, you can see the importance in the spiritual realm. I think as we've studied today, we all should see that. And it would certainly help in the secular realm as well. Excuse me. So as we come to the close of our study for this particular study, and again, I want to continue this series, Lord willing, next week on authority. But let's be honest with ourselves. Are we seeking to humbly submit to the will of God, even if it goes against what I've been told or what somebody that meant well has taught me? You see, I need to stay with the authority of the Scriptures. Otherwise, I'm not going to be pleasing unto God. We can't please God without faith, which comes from hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. And Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Are we seeking His will? We must hear the truth, as I just mentioned, Romans 10:17. Now the next step in obeying the gospel is to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, John 8:24. Now, the next step is difficult because it implies I've got to change my way of thinking. If I'm going to repent, I'm going to leave the present lifestyle that I've been living. I'm now going to go in a new direction and allow God to direct my steps, because I don't know how to direct them myself. Jeremiah 10:23 relates to that, doesn't it? So in repentance, I'm going to change my will and now submit to the will of God, Luke 13:3-5. We've got to be willing to turn away from a life of sin and submit to what God says we must do. The next step would be to make the good confession, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Of course, Matthew 10:32-33. It's unto salvation, as we know in Romans 10:9-10. So we're not saved at that point. But we're ready now to contact the blood of Christ, having made the good confession. The next step would be to be baptized for the remission of our sins. Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16, we're contacting the blood of Christ. That's what washes away our sins symbolically in the watery grave. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Note that. When Jesus died, he shed his blood, John 19:33-34. Now, as we come up out of that watery grave, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We're born again, spiritually. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. He came forth from the tomb on the first day of the week. That's right. We come up out of that water, we're a new person. Not looking different physically, with us, no doubt, tears in our eyes. And we're so thankful that our sins are gone. They're washed away by the blood of Christ. We begin that new life now. And we're not joining any church. The Lord adds us to his body, the true church. Acts 2:47. Now, as we begin to grow, we're adding the Christian graces. We go forth studying every day, feeding on the Word of God like a newborn babe desiring the mother's milk. We just want to feed on God's Word and continue to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And then we're wanting to be that good example to others. We want to let our light shine, that is, reflecting the light of the only begotten Son of God, as we mentioned earlier in Matthew 5:16. This is the plan of salvation in the Scriptures. Man may say other things, faith only, grace only. Well, that's not true if you stay with the Scriptures. Again, what are we doing? We're submitting to the authority of God. Not what somebody may mean well says, but what God says. And then we're sure. We know that we have salvation by remaining faithful, even unto death, Revelation 2:10. We stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel, and we thank you so much for listening today.